Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Local Business Network Hour. Local Business Network is Michigan's most powerful business referral organization because we are truly committed to maximizing referrals for our members and because we have the experience and systems necessary to achieve that goal. Over 13 years of experience in building, training, and supporting business referral groups has resulted in a referral generation program superior to that offered by any of our competitors. Join Al and Chuck with today's show. Enjoy.
Hey, welcome everybody. This is Al Crawford, joined in Texas by Chuck Gifford. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Fantastic. We are still deciding that it's winter here. It's really cold, it's really windy, and I can't believe it's April. It doesn't even make any sense.
They even had to cancel the Tigers game, I hear.
Yeah, it's one of the weird, I don't know that there's been that many times that a game has been canceled just because of cold. It's not snowing, it's not raining, it's just that cold. But it's really windy, you know, 30, 40 mile an hour winds. And it's really strange. But so how's weather down there in Texas, Chuck?
It's pretty cool down here, too. Actually, this morning when I got up, I think it was 40 degrees, which is quite cool for here this time of year.
For
normally
sure.
we would expect it to get up into the high 70s. And I think today we'll be lucky to get into the mid-50s. So.
Nice. So with our, I think that, I guess that's the joys of where we live and the things we do. I can't believe it's, April 15th is, the big tax day. I guess it's the 17th this year. I was looking at something, must be a deal on a Sunday or something, that I thought April 17th was the day this year. I didn't really understand that, but day's coming. And I guess the question I have for people is, when you're looking at last year and this year, what are some of the things that you've done different? What are some of the things that that you've put into place? And hopefully they're working better than they were the year before. I know that I'm excited about the different things that we're doing this year to help grow LBN. And what about for you, and Chuck? What do you see is different or unique for 2018 for everybody out there?
Well, in terms of LBN, we're getting back into our industry exchanges, and I think that's a topic we'll talk a little bit more about today. But that is definitely, an exciting thing. The industry exchanges are a lot of fun and very productive for our members. We're doing also a B2B teleconference call. To get all of our B2B members out together on a call, and we're now doing that on a monthly basis. So, it's kind of exciting. Down here in Texas, I'm focusing on, building board chapters and getting them up to 20 members, and then I'll move on to another. We're moving along well with our efforts down here in Texas. So those are some of the things that are a little bit different this year. Although the industry exchanges, they're new, but they're not new. I mean, we did them many years ago, and
right.
Then our regional mixers became much more popular, and we were drawing 400 or 500 people to those. So people didn't see as much value in the industry exchanges, because they're getting so much out of the regional mixers, and we're doing those 2 or 3 times a year. So they were really excited about the regional mixers. Then the interest in them kind of died off a little bit, and now the industry exchanges are back, and people seem to prefer that kind of networking. So things change over time. People's preferences change. We try to change with the times. Keep things fresh and keep offering extra value to our members. So those are some of the things that are a little different. Is that what you were meaning, or were we talking about the world overall in terms of upcoming changes.
I was kind of going to it from, you know, from both standpoints. You know, I think that, you know, people have their visions of you know, what they hope to do different or better in the year, and all of a sudden, you know, we're already through the first quarter of the year. And I think some people can kind of panic and be freaked out about what's going on, or, you know, they can kind of get righted and do it. I think, and we talk a lot about, you know, for people that are just getting, you know, new to networking and new into doing this stuff, you know, how it's important to you know, to get the education you need and to move forward and not to wait. You know, I think that today it's the important thing to act now. Don't wait. Don't let more time pass. You know, if you're not happy with how things are going right now, you know, what are you going to do that's going to be different? What are you going to do that's going to shake things up a little bit, maybe even get you out of your comfort zone a little bit, that can help you grow your business? You know, are you getting too wound up in the stuff that keeps you busy and not really working on the things that make you money? That was kind of the direction I was going in, Chuck.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of those changes these days are coming through the internet and the various programs that are out there and all the changes that come up. You know, Facebook is something that we use rather broadly within LBN, and as you know, they constantly make changes, and what worked yesterday doesn't work today, and so you have to keep up with that stuff and keep changing what you're doing. Find there are so many different internet opportunities these days in terms of networking groups and various ways to promote your business that it's difficult to keep up with it all. And of course, we have many people in LBN who are internet service providers, professionals who help our members keep up with that stuff, and you know, help them make sure that they're highly visible on the internet, and that the things that they are doing there are effective. So you know, if you find that you're overwhelmed with all this, you don't know what direction to go, you know, look up internet service providers on our members page, and pick up the phone and give one of them a call and sit down and chat about it. I'm sure they can help you with your business and provide you with the kind of information that's going to help you be very successful on the internet, as well as the various types of networking that they can also do with you, since they're LBN members.
Yeah, I'm. You know, one of the things that over the last couple of weeks, as I've been out and looking at the other events and trying to pay attention to, you know, what people are doing, and I know you face this a lot down there in Texas, Chuck, is the people that are just showing up, and I know we talk about this a lot, but people that just show up at these things and think that they're actually doing something, and it's really a strange, I don't know, it's a strange thing for me to kind of look at this now and just to be able to say, I'm glad you're here. You know, I appreciate you showing up, and I may have seen you, you know, two or three times before in the past, but I really don't know who you are or what you do, or, and I'm hoping that people aren't thinking that what they're doing is actually networking, because that's the person who's going to end up being like, oh, this networking doesn't work, networking is stupid, it's a waste of time. But I've seen you, you know, two or three times, and I still have absolutely no idea, you know, who you are or what you do. And that's kind of the person that's really, it's a frustrating thing to try to get through to that type of person. And I just wish I could kind of crawl in their head and just look around and go, hey, this isn't the way you're supposed to be doing this. You know, how can you do this a little bit better? That's something I'm frustrated with all the time.
Yeah, we have so many different networking groups down here in Texas that, you know, I see that all the time. And, you know, people sign up for four different networking groups. And, you know, they go to them all, but they're just showing up. And you go to the networking activity, one of these open networking groups, and you know, everybody gets down here, it's 30 seconds. You have 30 seconds to promote your business. So barely enough time to introduce yourself. And you watch, you go over, there are 80 people there. We go around the room, everybody does 30-second commercials. And, as you know, most people are sitting there thinking about what they're going to say instead of, listening to what other people are saying. And nobody's taking notes. And, half the people in the room are playing on their cell phones until it's their turn to speak. When it's two people away from them having their turn, they'll turn off their cell phone, and then they'll get their turn to do their 30-second presentation, and then they'll go back right back into their cell phone after they're done. And, you know, they don't listen to anybody else. I mean, they're not attuned to really interacting with people. They're really just there to get their 30 seconds to promote their business, and then they're out the door. So but they think that they've accomplished something by going there. And, you know, they don't get much out of it, but they're going through the motions, and they're excited about it. One of our members in their company chapter mentioned today that he went to another closed group, you know, a networking group like LPN, but a different organization. And, he got there and most people ignored him, and they had advertised that they were going to have, 25 people there. Five people showed up. And, somebody said to him, you should really join because the person in your category hasn't been here for the last six meetings. So,
wow, that's a good incentive.
In the group, you know. And so, totally ineffective group. And he just had to mention it in our meeting and say how thankful he was to be in LBN and with people who really cared and were really committed to helping with each other and where there really were some tangible results coming out of the meeting and so on. So a lot of opportunities out there, but sometimes you can waste your time just going through the motions and not getting results. So what we demand of our members is that they make a commitment. We need you to be in your seat. We need you to bring in referrals. We need you to be helping us grow this chapter and add new good people. And that makes all the difference in the world. I mean, it's just a totally different ballgame. It's a group of friends that are getting together. They're truly interested in helping each other to make the effort between the meetings to generate referrals for each other, to come and celebrate by passing, 20, 25, 30, 35 referrals at the meeting. And everybody benefits and we move on, right? So
for sure.
There are a lot of different groups out there. You really have to get out and take a look and experiment and find those that really work. That LBN is definitely one you should visit.
Chuck, the groups that most of the groups that you go to down there, the free groups, is there any sort of tracking at all of referrals? Is there anything actually ever being passed, or is it just all verbal?
No, it's all verbal. And when they at the end of the meetings, this one group I went to, I actually attended there for probably 6 months. At least once a month, I'd go over there. And at the end of the meeting, they'd say, okay, who has referrals to report? And, they raise their hands and say, well, I met with Joe, and Joe met with me, and, another gal met with Susie, and so on. And they go around the room. But there was very little mention, or some, but there was very little mention of actual business being shared. So they were not only having meetings, but they were doing some one-on-ones. But when you did a one-on-one with somebody, they came to sell you their product or service. And, my approach was to listen to them first, and many of them would, after a half an hour, say, well, you know, it's been nice talking to you, after they'd finished telling me all about their business. And, they'd ask one question about my business and happily listen to it. And then they'd say, well, it's been great. And they're off. So, I mean, they just weren't, there was no commitment. And bottom line in this business is your members must make a commitment, not to LBN, but to each other. They must help each other. And LBN is just sort of the facilitator here, the trainer and the facilitator. But what you truly must do is make that commitment to help your fellow members.
And I think that the thing that comes up more and more is the understanding that it's more than just saying that you know somebody. It's actually making that phone call, making an introduction, qualifying the referral. And really what I want to see, to me, a true referral is something that is confirmation of contact being made. Not so much of the sale, but just to be able to, what I want to be able to do is when I hand you a referral slip or a recognition slip, it's confirmation of something that's already happened, not something that I'm hoping is going to happen. And so that you give your 60-second, and it's inspired me to reach out instead of writing down somebody's name and phone number and saying, here, give them a call, for me to be able to contact that person and explain, you know, what the circumstances are and make sure it's something that is doable and then make that introduction. That, to me, it makes so much sense, but there's still so many people that just, they don't do that. They don't want to take the time to make that extra step. And it was something that, Chuck, when I first joined LBN and you told me that I could increase my referrals, the follow-through or the success of a referral from 20 to 80% by simply making that introduction, I was like, what? Are you serious? But I've seen it, you know, over all the years now. It's such an easy thing to do, is to make that introduction and to make that phone call and just to say, hey, here's what's going on. And what I love about it is that people are so much more grateful because you've qualified, you've quantified, you've done that, and that when you call that person with a referral, it's to be able to say, you know, I just gave Mark Moriarty for Carpet. You know, I knew a guy that he had a home. He had just gotten some money. He was looking, you know, to what he was looking to do. I had the room count. I had an approximate budget. And I just called him and said, hey, I got this guy. Here's his name. He's looking for a quote for this and this and this. And he's expecting a call from me by tomorrow. And he calls me back and he's like, oh, my God, you know, I've talked to the guy. I've got it set up. And then, you know, I'm just going to follow up with both and make sure that everybody's okay. But to me, that's just the way it should always be. It should never be a mystery whether or not somebody, you know, contacted you. And when I was talking to him, I followed up on the one I'd given him before. Hey, you know, remember that guy, the other guy we talked about? Yeah. You know, I talked to him, and he decided to go in a different direction. But, you know, thanks. Okay, that's not a problem. And you kind of keep that line of communication going. And also what it does to me is it continues to make them aware that you know what's going on, that you're following up, that you're making sure that, you know, they're following up. To me, that whole set of the mechanism has to be in place, that's so important.
Absolutely. You know, you really, are you still there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am.
Oh, okay.
I just took a drink of pop, I'm sorry.
Went silent. Yeah, just went silent there for a second. I thought you were
sorry, going. I had to take a drink. I swallowed wrong. I'm sorry.
So, yeah, it's, you have to really make sure that the connection is made. You want to give the person you're referring to as much information as you can so that when they call, they know what the situation is. Then the person that's receiving the call feels better about the relationship already. I mean, this guy, Al followed through for me, connected me with this guy. He gave the guy the basics of the situation. And Al told me he was a good guy. So why wouldn't I do business? And, you know, the way you set it up really makes a big difference. So sometimes, you can't get two people on the phone at the same time. Often I'll get the details and put them in an email out to both people so that they can connect with each other. Then they both have the phone number. But I make sure that the LBN member has the other guy's phone number, and I always say in the email, please give, Joe a call. So that, I put the LBN member in charge. He's in control. He's the one that needs to make the call. And, instead of letting the other guy do it because he may never do it.
And I think that having – another thing that I like to do is to kind of make it personal is to ask something. Like, and the one example I had, is there anything that is a major concern about, about this installation? And the one person, they had a pool table that had to be moved. And they weren't sure what had to be done. Did they have to hire a mover? What was the procedure to do that? And so I was like, hey, by the way, there's a pool table. And that is a major issue is what they're doing. So that he could already take a look and see, does he already have a plan? Does he have a mover he uses? Is this something where he actually reaches out to the mover beforehand and says, hey, I know you got a pool table? And to me, it shows that that there's been communication, and those are, to me, the subtle things that are going to make that person feel a little bit better, a little stronger about doing it, because it shows that we've already done some background work on some of this stuff, the concerns or the things that are the major issues or the major stumbling blocks maybe for somebody, that we're going to go into that instead of blindsiding them. Oh, yeah, I want to do this, I want to do this, and the guy comes over and realizes there's a pool table to deal with, and then they're going, oh, my God. That totally messes up my, my time frame, all those different things. Why wouldn't we do that? But I guess my question is to our listening audience, are you doing that? And if not, why? And wouldn't life be better if the people that you work with, the people that you give referrals from, actually communicated that way? How much easier would it make all the things that you do to be able to satisfy your customers every single day?
Absolutely. The more information you can share, the better off you are. And, mm-hmm. Putting that person in charge that I was just talking about, that increases your referral effectiveness by roughly 300%. If you just leave it where somebody's going to get in touch with somebody, only about a third of the time will that connection actually be made. But if you set it up so that your LBN member, your partner, your person you're referring, is given the responsibility of following up, and that also gives them permission from the standpoint of the purchaser to give them a call. And so you make sure that connection is made that way. Otherwise, two-thirds of the time, it goes away, disappears.
Right.
Nothing happens with it at all. And so that's really, really a critical element in the whole process. Excuse my phone ringing in the background.
You're okay. You're okay. Oh, there it goes. Yeah, that now it's loud. Like the first one, I didn't hear it. I'm like, that wasn't bad.
Okay, I'll move away from it here. So,
okay, no problem.
So anyway, this whole issue of generating referrals, making the effort, making the commitment to each other, really focusing on helping each other. And you know, as I mentioned, it kind of begins at the networking event. One thing that strikes me is that our meetings look very similar to other networking meetings. We're going to start the meeting. We're going to go around the table. Everybody's going to, you know, give us, you know, a presentation on who they are and what they're looking for. Our presentations are stronger. People do a better job of communicating ways that other people can help them because of the training that we do. But it kind of appears to be the same as the 100 other networking groups that you've been to. But much more information is being communicated. People are asking good questions. It shows they're listening. You see that a lot of people have a pen in their hand. They're taking notes on what's being asked for. And that makes all the difference in the world. I mean, people, at many of these networking events, they're doing anything but listening. And if you got that pen in your hand, you're having to write it, and you're writing it down, you have to listen in order to know what to write down. So that kind of forces that issue. And then, you know, you can tell by the questions that are being asked that people are listening, that they do want to know, that they are concerned about how they can use this information to help each other. And that whole attitude of wanting to help is such a huge difference. But and then at the end of the meeting, when we pass around 40 to 80 referrals, then it really becomes evident to people that, hey, this is a group that's serious. This is a group that's really helping each other. This is not one of the normal groups I go to where everybody does their 30-second presentations and then we all run for the door. That's the bottom line. You know, referrals are being passed. People care. People are committed.
And it's referrals versus leads. And I think that's a real strong progression that we've made over the years, is really focusing on the referral versus the lead, not just, you know, getting a blind name and a blind phone number because somebody doesn't want to, you know, they're in a group that's, you know, if they don't handle a referral, they get in trouble. And so they, you know, they pass the bogus referral and then tell, you know, person, don't, make sure you don't call because it's not real. I still want to get yelled at. And if that's the way that you're, think about what a defeatist attitude that is that I've done nothing to help my team over the last 2 or 3 weeks, so much so that I actually had to make up a fake referral so that I didn't get yelled at, versus, okay, I've got all these people around me that are counting on me to be able to promote their business, and I spent more time thinking about how I wasn't going to help you than I did on how I was actually going to help you. Like, what? Why? And this goes back to my early days before I was in LBN, where to me that nobody seemed to have a problem with it. And I was just kind of like, why are you in this group? I didn't really understand. And that was when I was trying to find my, you know, kind of find my way and be better at, you know, what I was doing. And then when, you know, I came to LBN and I started seeing the other side of this, and I was just like, wow, these people just don't have any idea. You know, they were strong-handed into joining this thing, and they're getting berated every week for not doing something, but they paid for 2 years, so they don't want to give up their membership. And instead of it being something where I really like the people I'm around and I really want to help their businesses succeed, and I'm really hoping that the group likes me enough to let me renew, and I'm going to make sure that everybody around me is more successful because of the things that I do. I mean, geez, could you be any more opposite in the way that you know, we function versus what I see a lot out there? And I guarantee you that people are listening and are going, he's talking about my group. There's a guy sitting next to me that just told me this yesterday, that he handed me this referral and didn't want to get yelled at. Well, if that's happening in your group, you need to look to a different group.
Yeah, there's a world of difference between going in and with a true referral and with a true attitude of helping other people and understanding that other people want to help you. It's not a one-way street. It's a two-way street. You help them, they help you. And, you know, you can't give a false referral and expect others to, you know, really be dedicated to helping you. It's just not going to work. So,
right.
You know, it's you have to be true with one another. You have to be committed. And, you know, when you get a group like that, the feeling in the room is so warm, that the relationships are so strong. You know, people really care about each other. And you know, you tend to attract people that are truly committed to helping their customers. You know, last night I was meeting with one of our groups down here, and you know, they did their 60-second presentations, and you know, every one of them was telling a story about somebody that they had helped, and how, you know, how they had gone the extra mile to help that particular individual. You know, each one gave us a specific situation and talked about the type of person that was, and what their needs were, and how they were able to help them, and how they, you know, done something extra to make sure that this person got what they needed. And you could just feel that these people were really, truly committed to making sure that they helped their customers. And just made me proud to be in the room, proud to have this group of people. And you know, if you get the right people with the right attitude, and others who come in will see that, they will feel that. If they're the same type of person, they're going to want to be a part of the group. And they're going to feel good about being with people like that and being able to refer people like that. And, it, you know, it just grows and grows. So it's, you know, there's such a feeling of warmth in that room last night. And I was just sitting there at the head of the table thinking, wow, I'm so proud of these
people. Sure.
I'm so proud of this group there. Each and every one of them is so committed to truly helping their customers and truly doing a good job for them, and then helping each other in the same way. And you know, at the end of the meeting, there were a ton of referrals, and they're one of the members of the group is planning. She's a realtor. She's having an event where she has a judge coming in to talk about landlord-tenant relationships. And of course, anybody that's a home investor or anybody that's a tenant would be interested in that presentation. But the whole group got behind her, and she's holding the event at her real estate office. They have a big room where they for meetings. They can seat up to 75 people, I think.
Wow.
But everybody in the group said, okay, how can we help? So they're, you know, they're buying the drinks and the food. And, you know, every member of the group is bringing something to help her put on this event. And, of course, they're all promoting the event to their people. And so what might have been a group of 10 or 15 people sounds like it's going to be 40 or 50. So, you know, it's going to be a tremendous event. They're all going to be there. They're there to support her as well as, you know, share information about their business with the people that are there. So it's, you know, it's great, again, to see that collaborative effort, everybody working together. One person kind of got it started and said, do you guys want to participate? Do you want to help out? And they all raised their hand and said, absolutely. And so it'll be a great event. And I think they're going to have 40, 50, maybe more. Who knows? But because they're all working together on it, it's going to be a tremendous success, and I think I'm quite sure that they will all benefit from it. They will all find somebody at that event that they can help. They can use their services either now or in the future, so it will be tremendous for everybody.
That's nice. That's nice. And one of the things that they may want to try it on there, Chuck, and it's something that I'm planning to do at some of our events, you know, especially like the exchanges and stuff, is doing the Facebook Live, actually broadcasting live from the event, where it's going to be open to everybody being able to see this. And it's one of the things that I plan on doing at our business exchanges is actually doing a live broadcast from those. So that it's an immediate thing where everybody's able to kind of share that it's going out there. And as we see, you know, the numbers coming back from it, we'll share that. But that's something to bring up. And, again, another way to be able to bring those circles together. So it's, you know, a person who shared the story. And ultimately, if they're in related industries, they're actually able to share live, you know, the people that they love, they support, you know, that are out there and to be able to grow their businesses. Chuck, are there any other stories that stick out from last night of the things that were going on with your members?
Well, first guy to talk was a financial planner, and he was talking about helping people after retirement. You know, frequently financial planners will get their money. They make their money on making investments and so on. But he definitely is there with them after they retire. And so, you know, when they say, okay, he gets them, he makes sure that they have been investing all along. They have this pot of gold to work with. And when it comes time for retirement, they don't really know exactly what to do, how they're supposed to get access to these funds, how they take them out and do it in a wise manner and so on and so forth. So he drove 300 miles up into Oklahoma and back to meet with one of his clients who is now ready to retire. And so, he went there to and he doesn't get paid for it, okay? He went there to make sure that they understood everything that they needed to know about how they should deal with their finances now that they're retired. And went over everything with them and made sure they understood what was going on and made sure they understood that, hey, you know, even now you can call me anytime, I'm here to help, and so on and so forth. And he gave another example. There was another client that was in a somewhat similar situation. And so, you know, he just talked about the fact that, hey, you know, I'm not just here to drain money out of people or to, you know, get my immediate commissions. I want to make sure that I'm giving them a valuable service from beginning to end. He said, you know, I've worked with clients where I've, worked with them for 3 years before they invested a dime. I helped them get their budget set up. I helped them, make sure that they paid off the debt. I helped them, you know, get ready to be in a position where they had some money to put away into retirement. And you could just feel how committed the guy was to working with these people, okay? There are many financial planners that say, okay, well, you don't have any more money to invest, sayonara, you know?
Right.
But this guy was there. He was going to continue on with them as long as they needed him, there to help any way he could. And that, of course, comes back. I mean, those people are going to be so happy about the way he's worked with them that they are going to, make sure that that they tell their friends about it. But most of us would not think about the tail end of the financial planning process and the continued commitment that can be made and the continued need for service. And this gave us a better feel. Now, if we know somebody that's, getting into those retirement years or about to retire, we can let them know, hey, even though you're not investing anymore or you don't have additional funds to invest, you still need services, and this guy's willing to help out. So,
right.
I mean, that's just kind of one example. Then there's the realtor that's in the group was talking about a lady that was interested in getting some lakefront property. And so she helped her look all over for lakefront property, and the lady found, found some land that was going to cost her $100,000, and then she was going to have to, build on that. But she was concerned. She felt that, hey, maybe this was too much to be spending for the land. And so the realtor got involved. She, gave her some good advice on that, which was, yes, it's highly overpriced. You need to, really look around a bit more. In fact, I'll send you some information on some properties. So she did that. And this woman also has a degree in interior design. And they found a property that had a cottage on it. And this woman looked at it, but she wasn't very excited about it. So this realtor is able, because she has the software where she can, kind of remodel a property virtually.
Nice.
And show her, hey, we can remove these three walls and give you this big open space. And here we can, we can do this and we can do that. And she took her over to Nebraska Furniture Mart, which is a huge furniture place. And they looked at various types of furniture and counters and so on and so forth. And, the woman could then see the possibilities here rather than be just write it off because it was,
right.
Wasn't exactly what she wanted or wasn't even close to what she wanted. But she, this realtor, because of her unique capabilities in interior design, was able to help her see the possibilities. And so she ended up purchasing the property and in the process of remodeling it. And it's going to be her retirement home. It's going to be
that's
place
awesome.
She always wanted to have on the lakefront. So again, her unique capabilities for interior design helped her help this woman in a way that 90% of realtors wouldn't be able to.
Right, right. It actually reminds me, Chuck, there was in the St. Clair Shores chapter, we have the Brian who does the architectural design, and he'd actually teamed up with the realtor in that chapter. And they were actually buying a home that was on Lake St. Clair, and the lady didn't want it because when you just explained, kind of like totally opened this back up to me, but there was a home that had a kitchen that was at a very low ceiling, and they found out there was actually an extra bedroom above it. And so what they had talked about doing was to actually blow out the ceiling and actually turn that bedroom into a ceiling space, and the customer couldn't visualize it at all. And so Brian came in and actually did a computer rendering of it, showing what this would look like afterwards. And ultimately, the lady ended up buying the house because of that. Brian ended up doing all the architectural, you know, stuff, designs and stuff for it. So it ultimately ended up making him, you know, making him some money as well. But it was that it was the storyline of him sharing what he could do that actually made that realtor even aware. And that's what I'm talking about in these scenarios and in these stories that we're sharing, is that what I'm hoping this is doing for our audience is kind of opening your eyes a little bit, so that you're kind of getting a vision of how this is different, how this is better, because these stories do open up so many ideas and it creates so many other opportunities that you typically don't see, because you're typically going to have the realtor saying, you know, I'm looking for first-time home buyers. Okay, why? Who are they? What's the reasoning? What's your motivation? You know, all the things that we're looking for that we don't hear when we go anywhere else. You know, we're in these circumstances where the people are sharing these types of situations, and they're able to share the uniqueness that they bring to the table that really differentiates them from their competition, but also makes it so much easier for us to refer them, because we know the other kind of the what they have in their bag of tricks.
Yeah, absolutely. It just you can say, you know, I go the extra mile for my clients. I mean, everybody says that, right?
Yeah.
These are
yeah.
concrete examples of ways in which they help their clients that nobody else could do, okay? And or the fact that they were willing to make this effort, to put in this extra effort, that, you know, truly provided value to the customer, resulted in a, you know, a win-win for everybody, and, you know, is a tremendous example of the type of thing that they can do. But as you're listening, you can also, you know, when you hear those stories, after you hear those stories, you're going to remember them. And when you're going about your business and you run across somebody that might be interested in a lakefront property, you're going to be able to say, hey, yeah, you know, you should talk to Joe, because Joe teams up with Jim, and he's an interior designer. And they were able to give a customer the perfect location and cottage or retirement home that they were looking for, because the teamwork that they were able to put in together, they were able to see potential in a home that otherwise would have just been looked over. And,
right.
And now the woman's in there and she's so deliriously happy that she doesn't know what to do, right? So,
exactly.
You know, it creates the ability for us to promote that person in a, you know, a more personal and more significant way. And so, sharing these stories is what is a tremendous help in terms of our members being able to help each other and being able to do referrals for each other.
For sure. You got one more, Chuck? I'm all excited now. I want to hear more.
Let's see. Oh, we have a roofer, and he told a story about working with this retired woman. And basically his point here was that many people don't understand that if you have your roof replaced, due to an act of God, it's not going to impact your insurance rates. This lady had hail damage on her home, and she was having some problems with leaks, but she didn't want to get it repaired because she was afraid that was going to increase her insurance rate. She was 70 years old. She was on a fixed income, and she couldn't afford any more cost. And so he met with her. The insurance company had come out and given her a line about it not being replaceable, and so he represented her with the insurance company, and told them what needed to be done, and told her what she needed to do, because they had obviously misrepresented her situation. It was a claim they should have honored, but they weren't. They were telling her they weren't going to honor. And so, he stepped in on her behalf, and in fact, I think they even had to go to the point of having an attorney contact the insurance company to make sure that they did what they were supposed to do. And then she was concerned because of the deductible. He found that there was damage on all of these supplemental items. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not, but when you have hail damage, there may be hail damage to your grill on your back porch and your chaise lounge and your whatever else is out there in the backyard, you can get paid for, but you don't necessarily have to do. Okay? So because there was so much supplemental damage that they were able to submit with her claim, it actually covered the cost of her deductible.
So, nice.
And then she didn't have to. They just give you the money for that supplemental stuff. They don't say, okay, you have to prove that you've done it. Okay? So they just give it to you. So he got her, several thousand dollars worth of supplemental coverage or claims that, in fact, paid the deductible for. So, he went in there, he took her position, he helped her out in terms of understanding what the situation was, so that she was not afraid of going ahead and getting the roof done, and then helped her with the deductible. And, really saved the situation for her. And many, many insurance or many roofers wouldn't have had that knowledge. He's been doing this for 75 years. Well, and not that long. He's 75 years old. But he stepped in and really saved her. Saved around that situation. So, just an exciting story. It makes you think, okay, who do I know that's an older person that might have a problem with the roof that they're not taking care of because they truly don't understand the situation. And being as old as I am, I have all these old friends. Again, made you just so proud that you're associated with this guy that's willing to put in that effort. He didn't know for sure that he was going to be able to, get this situation forward or do the roof, but he handled it and got the job. And so they're going out to do it next week. So anyway,
nice.
Stories like this just are so exciting because it not only gives you great confidence and faith in these people and increases your willingness to go out and help them out, it makes you proud to be associated with them, it's a great feeling.
Yeah, and I've really begun now when I meet people, even in the trainings, is I'll ask them, tell me a story about what makes you great, what makes you different and unique. And I'm still amazed at the new people that don't even know. They don't even know why somebody should hire them. They don't know what makes them different, what makes them unique. And I think that, the process that we kind of bring out to people allows them to start doing that. Because we're not saying to brag about yourself. We're not saying, what's amazing. What is it that makes you you? What makes you different? What's unique, different, the things that you do? What are the things you bring to the table they're going to be my selling points for you. And as people get more and more comfortable doing this, then this whole process becomes so much easier because these are the things that stick in your mind. The stories that Chuck has told me are going to be things that'll be in my brain for a long time versus the elevator pitch of everybody needing everything, doing anything, that are just gone. And so I really applaud those people, Chuck. What a great way for them to be able to promote who they are. And for our audience, I'm sure that they've left a lasting impression with them as well.
Absolutely. And, this group is just so committed to each other anyway. Stories helped us to understand, what it means when you say, I go the extra mile. I do for people what other people in my profession wouldn't do. I make sure that the client, the customer, gets the best possible service. And it's just the stories are heartwarming. They're they're impressive. They're memorable. And they're effective in terms of helping your fellow members understand ways in which they can help you. And that's what makes all the difference in the world.
For sure. That's great. Great examples, Chuck. And a major kudos to those guys. And give them a big thumbs up next time you see them from me as well. If you're interested in meeting people like this, on April 24th, we're going to be doing our real estate exchange, which is going to be at Mr. B's in downtown Royal Oak. It'll be April 24th from 5:30 to 7:30. It's on the lower level at Mr. B's, and you're welcome to come. As long as you're in real estate or have a real estate-related business, if you're one of the trades or one of those things and you'd like to meet a bunch of really, really good networkers, please come by and bring a wingman if you call it. It's $15. It's going to cover for the hors d'oeuvres and stuff, cash bar. And this is kicking off our series that we'll be doing each month for the remainder of 2018. Chuck, we are down to our last minute or so, so I just wanted to kind of throw it back to you to wrap it up.
Yeah, I just want to throw in another plug for those industry exchanges. This one is real estate, so if you're in real estate, mortgage, any kind of contracting, home repair, maintenance, etc. These are people that are going to get together. They're going to learn about each other. They're going to see if they might be good referral partners for each other or good people that they can send a client to when they have a problem. And it's going to be a tremendous opportunity to build some relationships that will bring new business for years to come. So strongly encourage anybody that's in a real estate related profession to make sure that they get there to that event in Detroit, actually in Royal Oak, Detroit metro area, because it'll be a great event and great opportunity.
Very cool. Well, thanks, Chuck, for calling in and for our audience. Take care. Stay warm if you're here in Michigan. And if you're in Texas, it's already awesome down there, so deal with it. Thanks a lot, as always. We'll see you next Wednesday. As always, God bless America. Take care, everybody. See you, Chuck. Bye-bye, audience.